Sometimes you got to Linnell-proof the studio because my guy decides he's the only one that actually has to do a show in here. So you got to change everything around. You got to fix all the damage that has been done. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. Nice to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. We are with you on the Team 980 on your radio, all throughout the DMV, and as well streaming live. When you're on the go, on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. Thanks to B-Mitch, J.P. Finley, B-Mitch and Finley over on The Fan for having me aboard. So I was a little bit late in switching over to this studio because they think my show starts at 2 o'clock, which is a long-running bit. And they were interviewing me about my car. Not anything about what we're supposed to be talking about football, about all the big-time cuts that have been made. No. They just wanted to see how much more miserable they can make me by asking as many probing questions as they possibly can. So that's that situation. It's okay. It's fun. It's all in good fun. I enjoy the boys. I enjoy a couple of laughs. We're trying to have a little bit of fun around here, and we try and do that upright. So we will attempt to have a little bit of fun on a day that, quite honestly, is not fun for a lot of people, and a lot of people lose their jobs today. And again, there is nothing fun about that, right? I get it. I understand. It is a reality of the situation, right? You're essentially not hired to get fired, but like the rules are that you have to go from 90 to 53 in one day. Now, some teams have been making cuts for a while, for a couple of days now. The Commanders started making cuts yesterday afternoon, right after we got off the air, and have continued to make reported cuts. Nothing official besides what they made official yesterday. So remember that, that anything you see today is reports. And I don't want to say speculation, but reports, not official, until the team makes it official. That being said, there are a lot of interesting names. I wouldn't say surprising names, but interesting names on the chopping block for the Commanders today and around the NFL. In case you have been asleep at the wheel, not literally or figuratively, not literally, the Commanders have whacked a bunch of players, including just moments ago, Sam Hartman. Not surprising in any way, shape, or form. Not surprising at all. But what was surprising, I guess, is that it took this long. I don't know. Maybe they were hoping that other situations would fill up. I have no idea. But that wasn't even, like, as we've talked openly about, and I'm not trying to besmirch anybody, it's just part of what we do for a job. You know, Sam was not only terrible in all three preseason games, and not good, struggling a little bit. I mean, unfortunately, he was awful in all three preseason games. But that was pretty much the story every day in practice, too. I mean, there was an occasional good throw. Fine, an occasional good throw. That doesn't mean that he was good in any way, shape, or form consistently anytime I saw him. Now, Sam Hartman, according to Rappaport and according to Tom Pelissero, if he clears waivers, should return to the practice squad. So I started talking about this on Saturday, right? Because, again, nobody thought he was actually going to be on the roster. Even before Saturday, it was the most obvious of obvious of obviouses. But I started talking about this on Saturday. I said, I wonder, quite honestly, if he even comes back to the practice squad. He's been that bad. And now they're saying if he clears waivers, he will. And of course, I couched it. I said, as bad as he's been, A, there's no guarantee that anybody else is better as bad as he's been. B, he's the only guy that's available once you cut him. And once he clears waivers, in order to come back, that knows the system. And for those of you that diminish that and think that that's not important, of course it is. And it's especially important for a quarterback. It's the most important. Knowing the system, knowing the terminology, what everybody's supposed to do, what have you, is way more important, obviously, for the quarterback than an offensive lineman or a linebacker or somebody like that, number one. Number two, it's way more important than anybody in the media or anybody will think. Like my guy, Danny Ruye, Funny Danny, always says, if you're on quarterback number three, you're screwed. Well, that's not true anymore. It hasn't been true for several years. And there's plenty of examples of it. 49ers, the Browns a couple years ago, so on and so forth. Even the Commanders in 2020. I know they were not good, but they were on like quarterback 15. But anyway, the point being is, the reason why a third quarterback is so important is because you need to have somebody that knows the system, that knows the terminology. You can't have somebody walk in on a Monday and play on a Sunday and know the system, right? You can't. The Commanders, then the Redskins, tried that in 2018 when Bruce Allen and my guy Jay Gruden made perhaps the dumbest decision of all time. Of all time. I screamed about it and nobody cared. That they only had Kirk Cousins. Actually, it was 2017. Kirk Cousins. No, I'm sorry. It was 2018. Alex Smith and Colt McCoy were the only two quarterbacks in the building. In the building. Not on the active roster. In the building. They didn't have a practice squad quarterback. They didn't have a third quarterback. It was the dumbest decision ever made. Ever made in the history of the NFL. I screamed about it. Nobody cared. I told you exactly why you needed a third quarterback. In the building, at least, for God's sakes. You want to tell me you don't need a third quarterback on the roster? We can debate that even though you're wrong. In the building. Then what happens? Alex Smith gets compound fracture to his leg, nearly dies. And they're on a short week going from Houston, home game, to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, have no other quarterback on the roster, have to bring Mark Sanchez out of retirement. He partially knows some of the system because he was with Bill Callahan and Kevin O'Connell at one point. They basically have to write 10 plays down on a napkin for him. Then Colt McCoy gets hurt in the Thanksgiving Day game, and Mark Sanchez has got to start the next week against Philadelphia on Monday Night Football when he's been in a building for 11 days. And he still didn't know the system, and he still didn't know the terminology. And they had to, again, doctor up a game plan that was like one-tenth of what they would normally do just to get him through. That's how hard it is. It's not something you learn with a snap of a finger. So how does this tie into Sam Hartman? Even though Sam Hartman's play on the field has not earned him a practice squad spot, trust me, it hasn't. It's been terrible. Terrible. I'm not being mean. It's been awful. He will probably get a roster spot or a practice squad spot. Why? Not because he's Jaden Daniels' buddy. Not because he has a great mane of hair. Not because he has a sexy beard. Not because he's a nice guy who chugs beer a la TJ Oshie at Capital One Arena, but because he knows the system. Because he knows the terminology. And God forbid if he had to play or be the next backup if Jaden somehow got hurt. If Marcus Mariota, who always seems to be hurt at this time of the year, is not available. I assume they'll keep Josh Johnson, but that's definitely not a safe assumption. If they only have two on the active roster because they want to carry others, then the practice squad guy is the third. Essentially your emergency quarterback. And guess what? He's one snap away from being one snap away. I try and talk about this every time at this time of the year. Nobody cares like I do. But Sam Hartman hasn't earned a practice squad spot. I promise you on that. Not by performance. By knowledge? By convenience? By familiarity? Okay. Okay. I understand the deal. I don't have to like it, but I understand it. And the reason why I understand it is because of the value that I put on the backup quarterbacks. Because, again, remember when the year where I think it was Jay's last year here, 2018, I guess, or whatever it was, when they went to Seattle and they had like 14 players out and they had like three starters on the offensive line and they had literally dudes walking in the building on Tuesday and starting on Sunday? Remember that? It's not the same. Being an offensive lineman, I'm sure it's not easy to learn a new system and calls and checks and this, that, and the other thing. It's not being a quarterback, man. It is not being a quarterback. So for that reason and that reason alone, Sam Hartman, if he clears waivers, is probably going to be on the practice squad. And again, that was reported by Pelissero and Rappaport, but we were already thinking about that, talking about that. I don't know if we got to it yesterday because of the Terry news, but we certainly said it on Saturday on Twitter, what have you, I think on with Linnell after the game, that the only chance Sam Hartman had was A, the practice squad, and B, because he knew the system and knew the terminology. And it's too hard to ramp somebody up when you could be a snap away from being in an active situation, right? You could be. Very quickly. Trust me. It happened in 2018. It was the dumbest thing of all time. The dumbest move ever made in the NFL, and I totally blame Bruce Allen because, again, that guy had no clue what he was doing. And somehow Jay went along with it. I don't know if Jay agreed with it or not. I've never gotten a clear answer on that. But that was the dumbest decision of all time in NFL history. And they paid for it in every way imaginable. I don't want this team to pay for anything. I don't want them to be like, oh my God, we don't even have Sam Hartman. We know he stinks. We know this is a mercy killing. But at least he knows the system. At least he could run the huddle if he needed to. We don't have Sam Hartman anymore. Oh, my God. So, in a way, even though he doesn't deserve it, I'm kind of hoping Sam Hartman comes back to the practice squad. And I am hoping that they keep Josh Johnson, even though he's been on 17 different teams. Because, again, he knows the system enough, having been here all offseason, and having been in so many different systems, he probably picks it up at a quicker pace. And he's at least serviceable. But I don't know if you put him on waivers if Josh Johnson's going to clear. Somebody, one of 31 teams, probably pick him up. You know, whether it be Tampa, who just whacked Kyle Trask, New Orleans, who whacked Jed Kaner today. There was another quarterback that was sent packing. Tommy DeVito And that would be a fourth quarter. But you get the point. I don't know if Josh Johnson, I don't think he would clear waivers. I know Sam Hartman is going to clear waivers. That's not even a question. If anybody's been paying attention, not even an issue. But that is a, I guess, notable move for the Commanders today. Other notable moves, according to Diana Russini, they're trying to trade Noah Igbinoghene, who we've told you has had a pretty good camp, but did play a lot, right? And I'm a little bit surprised by that because I thought that Noah had at least earned a fifth cornerback spot, but maybe they try and trade him and max out on a value and return, get something for him that can help them in another position area. We've talked about that philosophy, right? And in addition to all of that, the Commanders have also made a bunch of other moves, which we're going to come back and run down the list as far as we know and what's been reported and how it fits when we return on the other side. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We're with you on the Team 980, again on the radio throughout the DMV, and as well streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. We got AMAC back for a second day in a row. Cowboy B on the other side of the glass. Sorry, Cowboy B, but, both of you guys, JP and B Mitch, were confused by who I was talking about. Because they don't come over to this side of the building, they were very confused on who was who and who was what. So I had to explain to them that you guys are my guys, that you guys are my teammates.
Wow. You know, I talk to JP and B Mitch almost every day.
Yeah, you're my quarterback, man. Remember Terrell Owens did that?
No.
You don't remember that?
No, I do. Oh. They're just terrible impersonation.
It wasn't terrible. You thought that was a terrible impersonation? I don't think so. Still haven't got my car yet. They located it. Don't know where exactly it is right now. If anybody in the PG County Police wants to give me a call, please do. I've called you 5 times. Enough. Get to stepping. Let's go. Give me my damn car back. Or let me know where it is so I can get a tow truck out there. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Plus the night that your boy had last night at Northwest Stadium, all to come on the Team 980. See, AMAC, now here's how I know you were paying attention to me yesterday. Because after the show yesterday, we had a conversation about this song, did we not?
Yeah, I think since that, I don't know, why were you singing that song? Because it is.
You said something in the hallway, and I just, like, my brain works in mysterious ways, and I just started belting out this tune.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed T-Pain, and you said, oh, you're a fan of T-Pain. I said, well, I'm a fan of that song.
Yeah.
And here you are less than 24 hours later playing it back.
Yeah, I think you got the song stuck in my head singing it.
That's good. So any song that I want played, I should just mention it to you randomly on the way to the kitchen?
Well,
so that you play it the next day?
If you want a song, I will surely play it. I will do my best to find it and play it. But with T-Pain specifically, that is a very nostalgic period for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone my age can say that, like, coming into ending middle school and coming into high school, T-Pain had the slaps. Had the slaps.
Wait, what does the slaps mean?
You're hilarious. The slaps is like he had hits. Like, that song slaps.
Like, slaps is cool.
Yeah, it's
not
good.
Like a slap in the face, like Shiloh Sanders yesterday.
So not a punch. I'm glad you said slaps.
Well, I'm just giving in to you and Linnell, just because, in the interest of keeping the peace. So, but slaps in this case, when you say he had the slap, he had or he has. He had, right?
You can do either one.
All right, but he had the slaps.
You can say, I feel like for you, because you're emphasizing he had, you can just say he has slaps.
He has slaps.
Yeah.
Okay. But that means it's cool. Like he had a couple of hits.
Yeah, he had good songs. Yeah.
Okay. All right. T-Pain, who knew?
Has and the let slaps. It flow. Let it flow, Rooster. Don't. He has these slaps. You don't have to enunciate. He has slaps.
Ear slapped.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Ear slapped.
There it is.
Yo.
Okay, relax.
I mean, did you see who got cut from the Giants today?
I know.
Does that upset you? Because it makes me happy that that little Jordan McHumphrey.
Oh, you're talking about him. I thought you were talking about.
No. Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the rapper known as Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Oh my gosh.
Who caught the touchdown pass from Jackson Dart in Buffalo? Little Jordan McHumphrey got cut.
You calling him a rapper is crazy.
I mean, every rapper that I know has the name Lil in front of it.
You don't like rap, and it's cool.
I like some rap.
But you're not doing yourself any favors by saying every rapper has Lil.
I'm telling you. There's like an abundance. There's like more guys. There's more rappers named Lil something than there are guys that are getting cut in the NFL today. How about that? There's like 1,200 of them. No. And so I just named the Giants running back Lil. Actually, that's his name, Lil Jordan Humphrey. So I just, you know, took a special liking to him because I figured he was cool. Right?
You think he has a spot on the Commanders roster?
Probably not. Anyway, there is big breaking news, huge breaking news in the world of the NFL. Anybody know what it is? Anyone? Sure, why not? The social media world is a buzz, baby. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are engaged. They are officially a thing. They have issued a picture with beautiful flowers in a just gorgeous setting. Travis Kelce on one knee. Taylor Swift wearing like a navy pinstripe Yankee style, I guess, kind of using that as a reference point if you haven't seen the pictures. Dress with her hands around Travis Kelce's face. They are engaged. We don't know any other details, but it's a thing, baby. Taylor Swift is never leaving the NFL now. Well, I mean, Travis Kelce's leaving the NFL probably after this year. But there you go. There you go. That's the big news on cutdown day as everyone is scurrying about trying to figure out whether they have a job or not. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are forever. Good for them. Congratulations. I mean, love is grand, right? Everybody should be loved. But that's, I mean, huge news. Bigger than Sam Hartman getting cut. Anyway, the Commanders have made a bunch of cuts. Again, none of them are official. Until they get to 4 o'clock when they issue the press release. And they will have a press release probably at 4 o'clock and 30 seconds right after we get off the air. But here's the temporary tentative list. Andre Jones, defensive end, former 7th-round pick under Ron Rivera in 2023. Carl Davis, a defensive tackle that was brought in here last year, I think, by this regime, and was on the roster, off the roster, on the practice squad, what have you. We told you about Sam Hartman. Cleveland Farrell. Good job by my guy Ben Standing. He, over the weekend, I thought Farrell would probably make it. I had Farrell as my surprise cut last year. That didn't turn out, but this year, after bringing him back and after letting Dante Fowler go, they let Cleveland Farrell go. So I shouldn't say surprise, but I guess a little bit of a surprise. Jalen Holmes also gone. Another defensive end, Foster Sorrell, and then a bunch of wide receivers that we'll give you during the trending alert. So the Commanders have made unofficial cuts. Sam Hartman, Cleveland Farrell, probably the two biggest names on that list. There are others, Duke Riley as well, but and a bunch of wide receivers, which again we'll give you in just a sec. But what's also interesting is, according to Diana Rossini, they're trying to trade Noah Igbinoghene. Now, whether that's trying to max out his value or whether they're actually going to just cut him, if they can't work out a trade, that part we don't know yet. We're trying to figure that out as we go along. Anything surprising there? Again, I can't say, like, to me, I thought Noah Igbinoghene would be on the roster. So that is a surprise that they're trying to trade him and, or maybe they'll cut him. That is a little bit of a surprise, if not a good surprise. Cleveland Farrell's a mild, mild surprise. Nobody else really on this list should be shocking by any means. Maybe Duke Riley. Hard to get all worked up about Duke Riley. No offense. But that's the deal. All right, time for a trending alert. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 is the number. We are on the Team 980 on your radio, as well streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. When we return, we'll continue to go over how the roster is being shaped by the Commanders as we go along. And as well, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into one specific area that I think people are panicking on, and I don't think they should be. We'll touch on that coming up in the next half an hour or so, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we told you some bigger name wide receivers have been released since we were last on the air yesterday, starting with Michael Gallup. That was made official by the team yesterday afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, today, unofficially, veteran receiver K.J. Osborne and Chris Moore have both been let go by the Washington Commanders. Among other cuts, as we told you about, Jalen Holmes, Cleveland Farrell, again, reported cuts. Noah Igbinoghene expected to get traded, or they're trying to, according to a report from Diana Rossini, trying to trade him. Sam Hartman, as we've mentioned throughout the first half an hour of the show, the deadline at 4 o'clock Eastern time today. The Bucs waiving Trey Palmer. Even though they need some receiver help, they are getting rid of the former sixth-round pick, who might be able to help somebody out. He's got 51 catches, 557 yards, and 4 touchdowns in his young career so far. So you have that. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints are letting go of quarterback Jake Haener, who started against the Commanders in December of last year and was awful. The Giants cutting Tommy DeVito. And as we mentioned, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift have been engaged. And that is official according to a picture that they released and announced. The Cowboys have waived running back Deuce Vaughn as well, with the cutdown again coming at 4 o'clock today. Nationals taking one on the chin last night, 10-5 in New York. Yankee Stadium, they'll try and get back on track tonight at the stadium in the Bronx against the Pinstripes. That game coming up just after 7 o'clock with the coverage on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. Well, Taylor Swift hasn't been single for a couple of years, I guess, technically, theoretically, but now she is forever stolen. She is forever taken. Travis Kelce put a ring on it, and, I mean, good for him, man. I mean, you talk about a power couple. You talk about those two are, I mean, whatever kid they make might be the luckiest human being alive on planet Earth. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that legally she was still single, right? Like, I still
legally, I guess.
Yeah, I still put single on my taxes, you know what I mean?
Well, filing tax a little bit differently. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, they've been dating for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, but good for them. I mean, I like, seriously, I know people are tired of that storyline and, you know, seeing her in the booth and everybody gets all cranky and whatever. I used to get cranky about that stuff. I just don't care anymore. and I don't care that she goes to games, and I don't care that she walks in and what she's wearing. I don't care. Okay. But for them to build that relationship with as public as, I mean, think about it. she's 10 times the star, maybe more, than he is, right? And he's a pretty damn big star. She might be 100 times bigger star than Travis Kelce is. For them to build that relationship to the point where they decided to move forward and get married, and who knows when they're going to get married. I presume next summer, but I have no idea. Pretty impressive. I mean, not easy to do. I mean, if you just think about, like, all of the relationship issues that each one of us has, right? Hard, confusing, tough, whatever the case might be. And no matter how good your relationship is, and it doesn't just have to be a relationship like to get engaged. I mean, I'm talking about with friends, I'm talking about with kids, whatever, with colleagues, coworkers, whatever the case might be. Think about how difficult those can be to navigate sometimes. And then think about, what if you're Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift? Now, listen, obviously money is not an issue at all. So you could do a lot of things that normal people can't do. But think about, from that respect, how hard it must have been with her doing an international tour for a long time, with him playing football and what is required of that. And yes, he gets plenty of time off. And yes, I'm sure she had plenty of time off, but still, being in the public spotlight all the time, not being able to go out and have a meal without having security around. And again, this is the price of being famous, but it's not easy all the time. It's not easy to make it work, and they made it work, apparently. So kudos to them. Congratulations to them. I don't know why anybody would be upset, if anybody is. I don't know why anybody would make fun of them, if anybody is. But I see a lot of stuff on social media of NFL fans being upset that she's at games or that they're at a certain point in their relationship. And I would just say this, grow up. Like, I don't want to see her on TV all the time either because I don't care. But it's not it's not driving me crazy. It's not making me mad. Just grow up. She's famous. The NFL is going to put her on television because they know it attracts eyeballs. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else other than ratings. That's it, period. And she has been great for ratings. She has boosted ratings single-handedly. Single-handedly. All right. We told you about some of the veteran wide receivers, KJ Osborne, Chris Moore, Michael Gallup yesterday. It looks like, and I want to be clear here, that we still have a ways to go until 4 o'clock. And even after that, we could still hear some things. And quite honestly, things can change, right? Just because you make the initial 53-man roster today, that could be very different tomorrow. Very different. And certainly even after tomorrow, right? So the Commanders right now, again, have Terry McLaurin, we talked about this, Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, those four, and Deebo Samuel, five. I feel pretty good about those five. The question is whether they're going to take a sixth. And that, I think, pretty much comes down to Ja'Cory Brooks or nothing. Now, Ja'Cory Brooks has been interesting during the preseason, right? I think he's looked the part. You can make all the arguments in the world that you want for Ja'Cory Brooks over Luke McCaffrey, just based on what you've seen in a couple of preseason games that you all tell me means nothing. But maybe you're going to be right. I don't think you're going to be right, but maybe you're going to be right. But Ja'Cory Brooks, as a sixth wide receiver, would make some sense, right? We know that he's got talent. We know he's got some pedigree. We know this. But that doesn't mean, just because you do that and flash in the preseason, that doesn't mean you automatically get a spot. We've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. Yeah, I mean, it's not like he lit the world on fire. He's got 10 catches, 90 yards. I understand he's had some bad quarterbacks throwing him the football. Got it. Jaden didn't even throw a pass in the preseason. I got it. I've seen him in practice. He's looked fine. Nothing like that would make your jaw drop, right? Has he had a better camp than Luke McCaffrey? Of course he has. Is he the same as Luke McCaffrey? No. No, he's not. So, again, I think McCaffrey makes it, as we said last week. He had, five catches the other day? He doesn't have very much production in terms of yardage, but at least he was consistently getting targeted on a lot of short, quick passes and then falling down or getting tackled pretty quickly. At least they got his hands on the ball. And I think that was, hey, if we're going to go forward with this project, we need to at least make sure you can fill one of those roles of a high volume around the line of scrimmage type guy. One of the things that we lost and decided to give up on in Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder. And again, very different skill set than De'Ami Brown. So I think Luke McCaffrey, a kick return, which he did down the stretch last year and did okay, did fine. He has not returned a kick in games so far in this preseason. You can't forget about that role. Yes, Jalen Lane might be able to fill that role. Yes, Noah Igbinoghene, if he's on the roster, might be able to fit that role. They each had one kickoff return this year. Demetric Felton is not going to be on the roster. Kazmir Allen is not going to be on the roster. They've returned most of the kicks. They have 16 total returned kick returns between the two of them. I don't think either is going to be on the roster, but neither has been cut or reported cut yet. So I think, again, Luke McCaffrey is on the roster. I haven't wavered from that at all. The question for me is whether they take a sixth receiver, and go with Ja'Cory Brooks, right? Because that's, like, we know, again, unless they're going to get rid of McCaffrey, which I'm not expecting, and I don't think anybody else is expecting, that closely follows the team, you would have to take a sixth receiver in order to take Ja'Cory Brooks. And I don't know how they make the numbers work at any other position unless somehow, some way, somebody's injured that we don't know of, that we're not expecting to come back and is going to be put on IR. Again, a Noah Brown. It's obviously not Terry, I don't think, right? Or somebody else at another position that was expected to make the roster, and they decide to take six because somebody else at another position went on the injured list that we're not expecting, and that theoretically opened up a spot for you to be a little heavier at receiver. So I don't think Ja'Cory Brooks ultimately makes it. I think you can probably get him through to the practice squad. Not definite, but I think you can probably get him through. But now with Gallup, Moore, and Osborne out of the way, which, again, all three of those were pretty much expected, I think it starts to shape the position. You still have guys like River Craycroft. You still have Jacoby Jones, right? Again, McCaffrey, even though I'm not expecting, I don't think anybody else is expecting that regularly covers the team is expecting. You still have Tay Martin. I don't think he's been cut yet. But the only guy that I see that even remotely has earned that opportunity would be Ja'Cory Brooks. And that's it. All right, 149, Team 980. We're going to start to make the transition to the other side of the ball because I keep hearing how little this defense has improved. And I keep wondering, is this just simply a continuing reaction to what we last saw? Or is that fair? Is it a fair criticism that the defense is really no better than it was last year. We did a question similar to this last week, and I thought most of you handled it well. But I keep hearing how the defense is the Achilles heel, is the only thing holding them back. And while it's true compared to the offense, for the most part, I just don't buy this defense being as bad as everyone else does. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing. Why am I more optimistic about the defense than most of you, some of you, that I heard on Coach Sheehan's show this morning? 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, always live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, we're approaching the end of hour number one. Good to have you with us on the Team 980. Any surprises so far on the Commanders' cuts? Hard to find anything that's surprising. I mean, I guess, again, ultimately, if they trade and or cut Noah Igbinoghene, that would be the biggest one. And that's going to lead us into a discussion about the defense, right? And if you just take Igbinoghene just by himself, you got Mikey Sanristil, you got Trey Amos, you got Marshawn Lattimore. I don't think anybody would question that those three guys are the top three guys. And then you have Jonathan Jones. He could play inside. He could play outside, veteran, again, top reserve. But I don't see anybody else, quite honestly. They already cut Bobby Price today. I don't see anybody else on the roster unless they go out and pick up somebody that would even be a fifth cornerback. So I would be surprised. I had Noah as my fifth cornerback because he could play inside, outside. He's a veteran. He's been in the system for 3 years. We had him on the show earlier in camp, and he even corrected me. I said, second year? Well, third year in the system. So I'm kind of wondering whether this is a power play and a leverage play by Adam Peters to say, well, maybe we can get more for him in return and replenish some of those draft picks next year for a guy that we like, but we don't like feel like we have to have at this point. And we can, I don't know, have Carlin Vigors or Bobby Price clear waivers and make it to the practice squad, presumably, and bring them up on game day if we need it. Or just keep them stashed away. And maybe they go four corners to start the year like they went four linebackers last year. Again, that's normally light. All of us, I think, had them at five. Some had them at six, I guess. And in the past, I've had them at six. But if you look at Amos, Lattimore, as long as he's healthy, which he hasn't been consistently, Sanristil and Jonathan Jones, that might be it. And then go heavy at safety because they're playing a lot of the three safety look with Quan, Will Harris, Percy Butler, Jeremy Reeves, that's four, and Tyler Owens, five. And if you're going four corners and five safeties, that's a total of nine. And that gives you the opportunity to take 10 defensive linemen and six linebackers and still only have 25 on the defensive side, or some permutation of that. We'll discuss more on the defense on the other side of 2 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Again, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Come and join us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on Roster Cutdown Day in the NFL.